Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is M1 Chancellor Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings. How's it going? Good. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Also joining us is iMac hopeful Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Got that one word change, but I'm okay with that. I can live with that.
Good to hear. We also have host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Yeah. When's the next episode coming out?
Hey, next question.
When's the next episode coming out?
Moving on.
Yeah.
When is the next episode?
Directing the show tonight is Joseph Meacham. Hey, Joe, and thank you.
What's up, gamers? I prefer at this point to be called Old School RuneScape Extraordinaire, but Joseph Meacham also works. Thanks for having me.
Apologies to all our followers on social media. Our topic was posted as relating to iOS, but it's actually going to be the complete opposite. It's about Samsung and also about T-Mobile. Samsung announced their new line of foldables and a few of their new accessories. And then something crazy is going on with T-Mobile. Something that seems not catastrophic, surprisingly, in the landscape we're currently living in as far as security and data goes. Do you guys want to talk about T-Mobile first? Get that out of the way.
Sure. So T-Mobile was apparently hacked. I don't think they've confirmed the hack yet. But they did there is somebody on the dark web that is apparently claiming to have social security numbers, account numbers, email address, date of birth, driver's license, all that information for thousands and thousands and thousands of T-Mobile customers, which is a pretty big security breach if you you don't. I do remember, I think there was a couple months ago, or not a couple months ago, I think it was like more than a year ago, too.
I think it was late last year.
It wasn't necessarily a hack. I think it was a security flaw in part of their software to their vendors, I want to say. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was something related to their vendors that wasn't quite secured enough. But it didn't include privacy information like the social security numbers and driver's license. But apparently, these hackers claim to have all of that data, including phone numbers for active T-Mobile customers, which for a T-Mobile customer, I don't know. I think they need to step up their security there.
For sure. This is like a deep breach. The fact that they got social security numbers is concerning because most of the time I see like an email address and then a first and last name. And that's as far as whatever the security breach is. It hasn't really been like driver's license plus social security number, plus all the things like phone number, physical address, and like names and stuff. So, the hacker wants 6 Bitcoin for 30 million. And apparently they have 100 million accounts, and information, but this, hacker wants 6 Bitcoin for 30 million social security numbers and driver's licenses and stuff, which totals $277,895 when Gizmodo wrote the article and published it, which I don't know if they get the Bitcoin. The idea is that they'll be unable to retract the money from this person in any way. They won't really be able to trace it to a particular individual, or tracing it might be hard if they make some kind of Bitcoin account that doesn't have a lot of their personal information in it or something.
And a lot of these ransomwares have also gone after Bitcoins too, because it's kind of a currency that's untraceable in some ways. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if there's any regulations around that relating to, you know, it in the future, because I feel like, you know, when you shut down an entire pipeline or shut down, schools, I think there were some schools that had data breaches and stuff like that, similar to T-Mobile's. And then there was a meat processing center that had ransomware too, I think. And a lot of those paid the ransom to get back online. You know, the pipeline paid the money because they needed to get everything going again. So, just interesting to see that. It was interesting to see that T-Mobile was breached. Apparently they haven't confirmed it yet, but some of the information that was shared with reporters and stuff like that mostly confirmed, you know, the information. So unless he's for some reason, you know,
and I'm sure a company like
another way,
I'm sure a company like T-Mobile is, I mean, obviously they got breached, so there's something to be said about them stepping up their security, like you said, Matt. Though this company, T-Mobile, a giant telecom corporation that has like millions and millions of users, they're probably not shabby on their security. So something like this happening is kind of crazy, and also just goes to show that it's not just T-Mobile. It's like every company has to deal with security breaches and bad actors.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of data breaches out there. The hacker claims to have 100 million of customer data. T-Mobile says that they are investigating the claim. It's interesting to see see what happens, and you know, I mean, when you have more than one. When you have more than one data breach too, you know, like, again, I don't think the other one was necessarily a data breach. I think it was just a flaw in the security. I don't think any data was really compromised before. You definitely need to step up your data security, you know, and either fire whoever's doing it or figure out what happened, you know. It'll be interesting to see in the course of T-Mobile's investigation whether it's related to any of the working from home too related to it, because a lot of companies are changing the way they work from home and security for it and stuff like that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that was played any role in the data breach and stuff. So I guess we'll find out things come. I'm just looking at hold on here. Go ahead and talk. Let me read this article real quick.
So another thing is that, like, this comes after T-Mobile keeps trying to, like, restructure parts of their mobile business, because they had the, like, T-Mobile TV thing that they had for, like, just a little bit. And they had... T-Vision, is that what it was called?
T-Vision, yeah.
T-Vision.
RIP T-Vision.
Yeah, it didn't even last a year. As of 5 hours ago from USA Today, T-Mobile confirms that it was hit with a data breach that reportedly affected 1 million wireless customers. The data included social security number, physical addresses, IMEI numbers, unique identifiers for mobile devices. In a statement to the USA Today, T-Mobile says it was initially actively investigating the claims within the forums, but had no additional information. In an updated statement later in the afternoon, T-Mobile confirmed the breach happened, and it's not determined whether customer data was affected. I mean, the hacker claims to have the information. I think that claims that it's effective.
There was a hack. We don't know what was hacked.
Yeah. T-Mobile says it is confident that the entry point was used to gain access has been closed. The investigation will take some time and are working with the highest degree of urgency. This is the third time in recent years that data breaches hit the wireless carrier. In 2008, T-Mobile revealed a breach that potentially exposed information of customers' email addresses and phone numbers. 1 year later, the carrier disclosed a criminal hack of customer data, including personal information, names, billing addresses, phone numbers, account numbers, and wireless plans. So three hacks. I think they need a new data security team.
They're going to be giving out a lot of free identity protection monitoring. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, $100 million, that's a pretty big breach. So more to come on that. So
if I'm one of those, they better give me some top notch, like Lifelink or something like that.
And just to put it in context, I just Googled to see how many customers T-Mobile has. It says that they have 1,400,000 customers, or 104.73 million customers. So this was a most of the people that they have on their network.
I'm on that list. I'm just going to say it now.
Well, and
Verizon gang.
The other thing too will be to see is if it affects Sprint customers that migrated over too, and if that played any role into it. You know, maybe during the process of migrating data and stuff like that, there was an open API or an open unsecured backdoor or something like that.
So it's Sprint's
fault. Possibly could have happened. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that should probably be a part of the investigation. Theory, though. I like that theory too, but again, we have to wait. We have to wait for their investigation to be complete to find out what the thing is. So,
oh, poor Boost Mobile and Metro PCS. They didn't deserve this. So hopefully, things work out, and I can't wait to get that email saying that I'm getting a year free of identity theft protection.
That's enough.
Whatever good that does. So in that case, we can move to Samsung, and they just had an Unpacked event on August 11th. They announced four new products: the Galaxy Fold 3, the Galaxy Flip 3, the Galaxy Watch 4.
Let me correct you.
Please.
Galaxy Z Fold 3.
Galaxy
Z Flip 3. You left out the Z there.
I did, which is important because they might have a T or a G. They have several A's.
There's a lot of letters in the alphabet. And, you know, so I don't want anybody to go in there and be like, I want the Galaxy Flip 3. And they'll be like, well, do you want the T, the Z, or the F?
Also, I want to make sure you guys clarify. There is no space between flip and three. It's together. You want to make sure that there is no space in between.
So when you go to your wireless provider, tell them that is flip three, not flip space three.
Exactly.
Make sure you get it right.
Yeah. Exactly.
All one word.
Otherwise, you might go to wish.com and buy something that's not what you asked for.
Oh, no.
What's the fourth one? It was the flip, the fold, and the watch. What was the fourth one?
Fold, watch, Buds 2.
The Galaxy
that's
Buds
right,
2.
That's right, the yeah. Buds 2.
No Z in the Buds.
No okay. Z.
Just Galaxy
when Buds I, when I don't 2. Go and buy those, I'll keep that in mind.
But like the Z is clever, isn't it?
No.
No.
I think it's a clever use of the letter Z. Like it folds, right? Like it's an accordion letter, and they used it.
Yeah, but there's more folds in the letter Z than there are in the phone. I'm just saying.
Well, they announced that tri-folding monstrosity, so we'll get that at some point.
They should have called it the Galaxy V Fold.
There you go. I'm
because
with Tim.
There
you go.
Yeah.
No space.
Yeah.
Look at my
space. No space.
A V.
You should be working. So you should be working for Samsung marketing, and Roy should be working as Apple's assistant CEO.
How do you know that I'm not?
I don't know that, actually.
Exactly. Tim Cook.
Dropping facts right now.
So the Galaxy Watch 4, I noticed that this is going to be, to really no surprise to anybody who thinks this through, it will no longer be supported on iOS. It will be only available on Android. And I think that that is not surprising when you think about it, knowing that the partnership that Google and Samsung are going to have for Wear OS and the Samsung Watch, it was probably part of something that Google negotiated with Samsung because they want this to be more of a... I think they're going to use the Samsung Watch as their what they wish they could have as a Pixel Watch, at least for the time being. And they wanted an exclusive Android-only watch and something they can kind of sink their teeth into that's going to run Wear OS or be more compatible with Wear OS. But I still thought it was an interesting thing because Samsung is probably going to lose some people there that would have bought possibly a Galaxy Watch that won't. Not that I know anybody who uses Galaxy Watch on an iPhone, but I'm sure somebody does that will no longer be able to do it.
I don't think so. It's kind of interesting that they're doing it too, because Google bought Fitbit, and Fitbit's available on most, it's iOS and Android. So it just seems like, I don't know, they should have kept the support for iOS, even though I don't think there's a lot of people out there that use it for it. But it's interesting just because I feel like Google creates a lot of great applications for the iPhone. Some of the applications on the iPhone have been better on the iPhone than on the Android. So I think overall, I think that they could have kept the support for iOS, but I get both ways, you know. A lot of people are not going out there and buying, if they're going to spend $250, $350, they're going to get an iPhone or an Apple Watch SE. So,
To the five people out there that use Galaxy Watch with their iPhone, I'm sorry, you won't be able to get the new one.
You should buy a Samsung Galaxy Z Fold and a brand new Wear OS smartwatch. That should be the plan.
Or you should just buy an iPhone 12 with an Apple Watch SE.
I mean, there you go. Now you have to choose. Hey,
you can even get the backup battery pack for your iPhone 12 Pro or iPhone 12 Mini. Yep, there you go. Roy's showing it up right now. I definitely am excited to see what they do with this. One reason why is because I feel like Apple's kind of in a holding pattern because they own the watch market. You know, there's Fitbit out there, but you know, most people are walking around with an iPhone and an Apple Watch. You don't see a lot of people walking around with Samsung watches or Google watches. So I feel like Apple owns the market, and I feel like this is good competition for Apple now that they're trying to step up their game, and that maybe Apple will do some more creative things, like put in third-party watch faces. I feel like there's just like when you're at the keynote event for it, there's just not a lot of features that they're adding, you know, to the watch. They're adding a lot of health features, don't get me wrong, but there could be some more feature enhancements, like third-party watch faces.
Because the watch is already amazing as it is, and the refinements that we would
don't
need
give me...
are few and far between, but I completely agree with you. The fact that I played on the Samsung Galaxy Watch before, you know, you go on the store for the Galaxy Watch, and the amount of watch faces there are insurmountable. There's a bunch of free ones. There's ones that you have to pay for that I'm sure Samsung gets a cut of course, because it's on their store. But I mean, there's tons of different categories and tons of different watches, and some have special always on display features. And I mean, there are some that look like you basically have like a real, like an actual regular watch on your wrist. And when it's in its always on display mode, it looks like you have an actual watch and not a smartwatch. Mm. And I would love to see a watch face store come to Apple Watch. And let's face it, Apple can make a lot of money off of something like that. A lot of money.
And this is kind of the way that Apple users might get that. If Samsung and Google partner together to give like the creation of things for their Wear OS platform, to give the technology to people so that they can customize it and make whatever they want, just like they do and make it so easy to make Android apps, you could get an explosion of everybody across the Android / Wear OS ecosystem making watch faces and basically knocking on Apple's door, asking them when they're going to do not the same thing, because they'd never give people that much control over what their stuff looks like, but at least they'll capitulate in some way. Maybe developers will have a little bit more control over Wear OS and give different types of watch faces that are better customized.
Well, and that's just kind of the point that I was driving, because competition drives Apple in a lot of ways, you know, and the fact that they own the market right now. I feel like they're probably just sitting back like, oh, yep, we don't need it. We could just give them a new portrait watch face, you know.
They're so far ahead.
Before. So, yeah. So
it'll be nobody ever.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. The new Samsung watch has a 3-in-1 bioactive sensor that measures your body fat, and then a new 5MN processor. 50% more RAM. So it definitely looks like a good upgrade from the previous watches. So it'll be interesting to see how it sells and how it integrates, you know, with Android better. And if people adapt to it and stuff. So
how do you guys feel about Galaxy's Buds? Have you guys tried the Galaxy Buds or seen them in the wild?
I haven't tried them. Roy bought my old Mac, and sold a bunch of his phones, but he also gave me the Pixel Buds. Is that what they're called?
Yep.
Yeah,
Pixel Buds. And I actually kind of like the Pixel Buds, so they sound amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, they don't have noise canceling, but thing that I like about
noise canceling, pretty cringe.
Oh yeah, no noise canceling, but the fact is that they fit inside my ear, and they come in black and not white. Like, you know, I just like I like a nice set of black earbuds. You know, and looking at the Samsung Galaxy or the Galaxy Buds 2, you know, they look really nice, and they probably fit in my ear. I like that. I just kind of like it, but I wish they did have noise canceling on the Pixel Buds.
I have a coworker who has the what was the last one they brought? The Galaxy Buds Plus or whatever the last one they brought out was. Yeah, yeah. He bought them about 7 months ago, and he's already had to trade them in once because they stopped working, and his left earbud has already gone out on his other one, on his new one. So in 7 months, he has gone through two pairs of Galaxy Buds. To me, that would steer me away from wanting to grab them. I mean, I know new generation, you know, they could improve upon some things, but it would definitely make me a little leery of getting them at the current moment.
Yeah, these are smaller and lighter than the Galaxy Buds Plus, and of course they include active noise canceling. But to your point with the trading in, what my AirPods Pros started messing up. I started getting like fuzzy, staticky noise in them when I was listening, and I took it to Apple, and they swapped them out for me. Never had any issues, but yeah, I mean, other than that, I haven't had much issues with my AirPods at all. So I definitely think the quality is better in the AirPods than you get in some of these other, you know, earbuds and stuff like that. But I don't know. Tim, you have the AirPods, the regular AirPods.
Yes, I do.
How do you like them?
Well, they are fantastic. I like using them a lot. And I can't say for sure about the Samsung or the Pixel Buds because I've never tried any of them, but AirPods are great. They work so well. It's hard to imagine my life without them.
And are you using them with your OnePlus?
I sync them up once and then never used them again with my OnePlus. It's always been with my work iPhone.
Okay.
And it's because the software integration with iOS and AirPods is pure magic.
It is super buttery seamless.
It's just like, yeah, the fact that I can open them up, I think it's only within a certain distance. Yeah. If it was like, well, farther away, it wouldn't work.
And with the AirPods 2, and I don't know, I don't think you could, I mean, maybe you can do these with the Samsung Buds, but with the AirPods, you can actually, if you're listening on one device, you can actively switch to the next device. So, for example, if I come in from walking the dogs, I could easily switch over to my MacBook, you know, when I come in and sit down. And once it detects audio, it automatically switches over. You don't have to go up there. You don't have to select the device, that type of thing. It's very seamless and integrated, which is what you get out of Mac OS and the Apple ecosystem. But it'll be interesting to see if, I mean, a lot of people don't have, you know, a tablet, you know, on Android and stuff like that. So I don't know that it would work with Windows, you know, like the integration with that, just because the software has to be built into it. So
the question that I have is, on iOS, you can easily, like you were saying, Matt, you can easily switch your AirPods from your iPhone to your Mac with no problem because they're both Apple products. My question for Samsung is, when will you be able to seamlessly switch your Samsung earbuds from your phone to your refrigerator when you walk into the kitchen and you want to get ice and watch?
That's you the dream. You
want to continue watching your show on your fridge, like
from your Samsung TV or Samsung smart TV. You're watching Netflix, right, on your TV, and you want to walk to the kitchen. You're making dinner, so you want to move that show over to the TV or to the refrigerator on the screen and listen to it with your Samsung Buds. Samsung, if this is not a thing, you need to make this a reality. Because guess what? It'll sell. Many people would do this.
If you start including these buds with your refrigerator, that will be game changer.
Just imagine if they programmed it. So you're in the TV, you're in the living room, you're watching Cobra Kai on Netflix, and you walk into the kitchen, and because the buds are in your ears, the fridge notices the proximity to where you're at and just automatically switches over to the fridge. You don't have to do anything.
That would be
like,
so
I feel
cool.
This could be a reality. Like, Samsung could really do this.
Truly magical technology. I mean, these buds, they only like smart switch from phones to watches. I mean, why stop at fridges? If you want to do laundry and you have a screen on there, because why wouldn't you? At Samsung, starts playing whatever you're watching while you're doing your dishes, while you're doing, it doesn't matter what. The Samsung earbuds will just switch over.
Housewives and house husbands, like they could sell this to them. And they'd be all over it.
You got a Samsung microwave? What if in your environment you could turn all your Samsung devices into virtual speakers, and then you put the earbuds on and you walk through and it sounds like your audio is just all surrounding you.
Like spatial audio for the devices.
Spatial audio, yeah. Except you can put as many speakers as you want. Like, you walk in, you buy like 10 Samsung microwaves, you set them all throughout your house.
I feel like we should be a marketing team for Samsung.
Imagine Samsung makes a microwave and the glass of you in the microwave is actually a transparent LED.
Oh,
and I don't want to look at my food cook. I want to watch Oprah.
Yeah, if I have to step away from my microwave to go back to my TV to watch what I was watching, it's a lost. You're losing money, Samsung.
How often do you go and like you're nuking something in the microwave, and it's gonna be like a minute. You don't leave the kitchen to go back and watch something. That's precious video watching time you're losing out on there.
And what if you have to go to the laundry room and swap over your clothes from the dryer to the washer, or the washer to the dryer? And reload a new thing. Like
this could be a thing.
Apple has their crack. Apple has their crack marketing team that comes up with these great ideas for versions of Mac OS. I think we could be the marketing team for Samsung.
I just want to tell Tim Cook that I'm sorry for putting all these great ideas out for his competitor.
Samsung, what are you doing? No one cares about these appliance stuff. Well, do this.
Yeah, put a TV, a pop-up TV on top of your washer dryers.
Let's make sure that we get a little clip of this and we tag Samsung in it so they can pay us for all our great ideas.
Actual fantastic idea. I mean, with all their foldable, rollable screens, they can put screens everywhere.
We're immediately going to get blocked by Samsung when we post that. Just saying.
So, anyways, all right. Zamps Galaxy Z Fold 3. There, I said it. Not the T, Galaxy T, not the V.
Not the F, yeah. Not the FE, not the A, not the J.
Yeah.
And no space in the fold.
This is what I'm actually excited about. The one thing they announced that I was super excited about, and not that I'm obviously going to jump out and get a Samsung Fold Z Fold 3 because number one, I still think foldables are way too expensive right now. And number two, I don't have a desire to get a Samsung phone, but the implications of this are amazing. And, here we have their third generation foldable phone, which means they've really had a good chance to refine the folding technology. Yeah, there's still a crease. Who cares? I don't think you're going to get away from that anytime soon. And yeah, the outside of the phone is probably the biggest waste of space that I've ever seen because of its weird aspect ratio. Like you can't really do anything other than basic functions without it looking really funky. You're not going to watch something on there, but being able to basically carry around a tablet in your pocket and the way that you can do side-by-side applications and the productivity that is there. I think, the Z Fold 3 really shows the future of where we can go and what we can do with foldables. Once again, I don't personally have a huge interest in picking one up myself, not just because of the price, but because I don't need a Samsung Galaxy device. But I like where they're headed with it, and I like what they're doing with it, and I would love to see what other phone manufacturers, Apple and other, see what Google may bring out with a foldable in the future. I like the idea.
I wanted to ask you guys, because this is the Fold 3. It means there are three of these phones now. So I want to ask you guys, how many of you are surprised that they actually continued making the Fold series? And did not,
I'm not
give up?
I'm surprised they didn't bring out a Note phone this year. They said no Note this year. That's what I'm surprised about.
I'm just going to tell you straight up, I am not looking forward to any of these Fold devices, and I hope Apple doesn't go into these directions. I just think it's ugly, it's bulky.
I got bad news for you.
It's like, I like thin. Like, that's what I like to carry around in my pocket. Like, I don't want a tablet in my pocket. Like, just me. I will still go for the classic iPhone. I will not go for any Fold. Definitely not looking forward to that.
I feel like the foldables are where we're headed in the future. I say give it 5 years and we're going to see more foldables in the market and less regular style phones. I think it'll take longer than that for the regular phones to go away.
here's the thing. Look at Apple. Everybody thought, oh, the stylus is perfect for the watch or for the phone. You know, Apple still hasn't come out with a stylus for the iPhone. You know, so
it's not necessarily because they're saying it's going to be bad for the phone. It might just be one of those things that they're holding back to be like, well, now we did it, so pay us money.
Yeah, but it just I just don't see a lot of people going around. I mean, I don't see the need for a foldable phone. I especially don't like the flip one, the flip three. Mm. That just looks tacky to me. It looks like the Razer phone. It looks like,
I do agree with you. There, to me, getting the foldable, or sorry, the flip phone, foldable.
We already did flip phones before.
It's bulky. Because, I mean, you know, it's the thickness of two phones, basically. Granted, it's in a smaller form factor because it's a little square. It's, you know, it's a little bit less of a obtrusive size than the Fold. But there's no point. I would rather have something tall and slender in my pocket than short and fat. I mean, it's going to feel way more comfortable in my pocket, sitting down, walking around, to have something tall and slender. And other than the fact of being like, ooh, look at this cool foldable LED screen that I have, there's nothing that the flip brings to the table.
And then when you tack on a case, which most people wear or walk around with a phone on a case, you tack on a case on top of that. And then if you're one of those people that, you know, gets an OtterBox Defender case, you put that on top of that thing. Like, I mean, you're walking around with a brick. You know, don't get me wrong. The foldable phone is really cool. Like the technology, I feel like in there, it just doesn't appeal to me. And that's just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'll change my mind down the line once I see what Apple comes out with. But I like one screen for my phone. Even like, you know, with the iPhone 11 Pro, I had the Max version. And I recently, when I went to the 12, I went down to the Pro model. And I really like the Pro model screen size. You know, I played around with the Mini. I really actually like the Mini size too. You don't get the Pro features in there. But the form factor, it feels good. It feels comfortable in there, you know. And I have a tablet that I carry around if I need another screen. Like, just doesn't appeal to me. And maybe that's just me. Maybe, you know, this will work out for some people, but just not my cup of tea for sure.
I am all about carrying around less devices than I need to. Like, I love that I can have the Kindle app on my phone because now I don't have to carry a book around with me or my Kindle around with me. You know, if I'm at the doctor's office and I want to read my book, pop my phone out and read my book. When I'm at home, I can use my Kindle, which is a lot easier on my eyes. And if I want to read before bedtime, and they sync between the two. But to me, I'm all about carrying around less devices than I have to. So if I was somebody who on a regular basis carried around a Samsung Galaxy phone and a Samsung Tab, but I get the Fold and basically kill two birds with one stone, it would definitely be appealing to me. I mean, I think it still has a ways to go to really be super practical for mass consumers, because like you brought up, Matt, it's a thick phone. I mean, it is the thickness of two phones, and that is a huge downside. The outside screen is ugly to me, and it's almost pointless other than a basic phone call or text message. You know, I'm not going to use that screen for anything else. The aspect ratio on the inside, if you're watching a movie, there's a lot of wasted real estate space there. It doesn't fill up the whole screen. It fills up like two thirds of the screen. So there's a lot of problems that I have with the Fold and its practicality use as of right now, but where we're headed and where it can go and the potential there is what I'm excited for. Like I said, if I can basically carry around one device for two, I would be all over that. If I was somebody that carried around a tablet and a phone on a regular basis. If you're not carrying it on a regular basis, it's not as big of a deal. If you're carrying around your iPhone and your iPad, then a foldable iPhone where you could fold it out and basically have a little iPad mini or something might be more appealing to you.
Well,
we're not quite there yet, but it's exciting to see what they're doing and where they're going with it.
Yeah, and I totally get that idea, but it just just doesn't. I don't know. It just doesn't appeal. I mean, I can still watch amazing videos on my iPhone, hands down. You know, iPhone has very nice screens, good ratio and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't need a giant screen to watch a movie on.
Well, given the way that it plays video, I wouldn't want to watch screens or movies on the fold, because like I said, so much wasted real estate. Like I wouldn't want to hold up something that big and that clunky to watch something to begin with. Like if I'm laying in bed, it's too big and clunky. I'd rather the outside screen be like the size of my phone and do it on a screen like that.
With the inside screen, content doesn't normally or naturally adjust to that size. So you could be scrolling Instagram or watching a YouTube video or watching a Netflix video, and you get giant black bars on either the top or the bottom, or the app doesn't load into that giant content space. And so you're kind of trying to figure out how to use apps that are a little bit broken inside of that giant, like 7.6 inch square display.
They're supposed to be giving users, and the Samsung Lab features, which is like in the settings, I guess, they're supposed to be putting in a setting in there to basically force the app into the Fold's, you know, aspect ratio. Kind of like how, you know, with the iPhone 10 came out, sometimes it forced apps into its aspect ratio. And it looks a little wonky, but Samsung's supposed to be doing that in hopes that it'll help bring people over to the Fold and get some of these developers to figure out better solutions for their apps.
But that's the other thing too, like the Play Store is super, like there's so much in there that's been outdated and is not up to date and doesn't have current developers. That's the one thing I hate about the Play Store is that there's so much garbage in there and there's so much stuff that's outdated. Where, you know, you don't know what you're getting. And, you know, if you download an app and it's pushing it out to that ratio, I mean, yeah, like it wasn't that bad on the iPhone, but I think when the iPhone 10 versus the iPhone, you know, 8 wasn't that big of a difference in size, you know? So, I mean, the text was a little bit bigger and stuff like that. This, I feel like, is going to look chunky and just, again, not appealing. It'll be interesting to see.
Like, that's not the experience you want for, like, an $1,800 phone.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, you're spending a lot of money on this. You want good developed apps on it, you know? And that's the one thing that I wish Google would do with their Play Store is work on getting better content for the Play Store, you know, better designed apps for... I mean, because there's a lot of different phones out there, a lot of different sizes and stuff like that. This Flip is just a new type of thing that I think we need to. I think Google needs to push around some things and create some rules for, you know, developing apps now, so that you can accommodate things like the Fold phones.
So if you guys were developers, the Fold in your eyes is
basically still just a concept model, in my opinion, that they're still working out.
And that's kind of what I was going to ask. If you guys were developers, how would you feel looking at the Fold 3? Like, would you think it is just a concept thing? And would you be developing resources for it?
Something that would appeal to me is if I could fold my iPhone open, lay it on the ground, and my Apple Car just pops right out. That would be amazing. That would be a selling point for the Fold. But no, I mean, like, literally, I just, again, a folding iPhone, the bulkiness.
If I was a mainline developer, we're talking like, you know, a developer that developed for like the top 20 apps that get downloaded, I would probably put some development into the Fold, but they probably have the resources to easily do that too. I don't think that there's enough of an incentive and enough of a market for the Fold for any of the smaller developers to put the time and the money and the effort into it. And that is probably going to be Samsung's biggest downfall. There's not enough adoption. There's not going to be enough adoption of the Fold because, let's face it, most people aren't going to buy the Fold. Most people are probably really pissed that they're not bringing out a Note, and they're probably going to get, you know, the S22 Ultra Plus Mega Ultimate, whatever they bring out, in lieu of a Note. But if Samsung finds a way to make the Fold more marketable and more sellable and more affordable, number one priority right there, they can get it into the hands of more people, and then that would force the developers to support it. But the adoption rate is not even close to being there. Either A, we need a higher adoption rate of Samsung, or we need B, another group of developers phone manufacturers to bring out foldable phones like the Fold 3 to raise the adoption rate of foldables to force developers to develop it. Otherwise, there's no incentive to do it.
And you have to understand, too, the Play Store. When you talk about the Play Store and the Apple Store or the iOS or the App Store, people on Google and Samsung devices want free apps, and with free apps developers don't get paid. There are some really nice quality apps on the iPhone and the App Store that you can pay for and get really good developed apps, but developers putting a lot of money into building an app designed for the Galaxy Fold phones, that's a lot of work for a developer to do. I don't see the developers adapting to it in that type of rate. Now,
could be wrong,
but again, people on the Android side want their apps for free. You know, that's the biggest thing when you talk to people, I'm going to get a Samsung because I get more free apps. Yeah, you get more free apps, but you get less quality apps and stuff like that, and you don't get well-designed apps. So
is there a type of screen that you guys might prefer? Because it sounds like, Roy, you're saying folding is an interesting avenue to go. You're curious to see how they'll advance it going forward. Matt, it doesn't sound like you're sold on foldables. And Tim, I'm curious what you think about foldable phones in general.
Here's my foldable screen, right here.
That's not one piece of glass that folds with a crease in the middle, Matt. That has hinges.
And it's not as portable.
You can't fit that in your pocket.
That's the only portable. That's the only a portable laptop. Device. That's the only portable device that I need. Like,
you heard it here. Yeah. He's getting rid of his iPhone and his iPad. Great.
Yeah. That's the only portable device that I need when I need a foldable device or a larger screen. Like, So, Tim, what are your thoughts?
So, I'm a big fan of new technology, and this is definitely, I think, still very new. Never have used one of these phones before, so I cannot say with firsthand experience. But this third one seems to be much more revived and better than the first two, and the previous two rather. And if at this rate that they're continuing, they're definitely in the future we could see more foldable phones. I don't know for sure if we will or if this will just die off. But considering that Motorola also did a foldable phone, and I want to say
a foldable LG. Razor.
Yeah.
Motorola Razor.
That was actually fairly cool because it was like a nostalgia thing.
But it wasn't worth $1,000.
No. I mean, I wouldn't buy one, but like, I'm going to give them a pass for the nostalgia factor. This flip thing is just absurd.
But did LG... They had a foldable. Okay.
They did. It was two screens and a literal hinge in between that you folded.
Okay. And then we're not even going to talk about Microsoft, but all these foldable phones that exist, they have been revived and gotten better. And so it's not about right now. It's not about me going out and buying one of these Right now, I'd rather buy a Samsung smart fridge instead of spending the money on one of these stupid phones. It's about the progress that's going to be made from these phones and the future that we see. I'm not sure if we'll ever see an iPhone that's foldable. Probably not, because Apple is going to be very picky about making sure it's perfect, yeah. And it's not going to be perfect anytime soon.
I feel like it's going to have the fate of AirPower.
Yeah.
You know, like AirPower was... Did you ever hear about AirPower?
No.
It was the like 3-in-1 charger, so it was like a 3 charger, so you could charge your watch, your AirPods, and your iPhone all in one thing. It was announced at an Apple event, and then it was supposed to come out later that year, and then it never came out that year. It was pushed to next year, and then it was pushed to the following year, and then they finally said, "Nope, we're not doing it anymore." It didn't reach their high standard of rate. The rates, and I feel like that's the way foldable phones are going to go. It just Apple, they have to do it right, you know, and I just don't feel like a foldable phone again is going to adapt very well. You know, they're probably looking at what Samsung's doing, you know, and stuff like that, but and don't get me wrong, it may be wrong, maybe they will, but I don't know.
So I like
this. It fits in my pocket really well. It doesn't bulk out, you know, like, and I feel like we want to go thinner rather than thicker on the devices. So totally understand people, though, if you want it. Now, Matt, you were talking before the show or earlier in the show. I don't remember. But you were before the show, you were talking that you kind of wanted to get one.
Oh, God, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the people that carries two phones with me all the time. I'm usually like watching a YouTube video on one and then taking notes or browsing the internet on the second phone, or like playing a game or browsing two web pages and cross-referencing information between them. So the Galaxy Fold 2 interested me because it could conceivably replace the two phones that I carry with me already. Just they fold together and then I'm done. I wouldn't have to carry the two bulky phones that I already have. Though it did not have S Pen support. And one of the reasons why I love the laptop that I have is because it's foldable. I can turn it 360 degrees and it has a pen and I can take notes on it. But it doesn't start up as fast as I would like. So something like the Galaxy Fold, an always-on device that you just pop open, jot some notes down in OneNote or something, close it back up, put it away, you're done. That sounds fantastic to me. And those are probably the two primary reasons that I want it. One, I carry two phones, and I'd like to cut down to quote-unquote one phone. And two, because I want quick access to digital note-taking. I was a little worried going from the Fold 2 to the Fold 3, because the way that people were using styluses on the Fold 2 was with those big, like, rubber-tipped styluses that are, like, the size of your finger, and you had to be really careful, and then you don't get fine precision with those, but somehow they made this new foldable glass more durable, and now you can use a new S Pen on the Galaxy Fold 3. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, I don't know, it's also going to be like the newest phone that I've owned in a considerable amount of time if I pick it up. So I'm using a Galaxy S8 and a Pixel 2 right now. So this thing will have eventually Android 12 or whatever it is, you know, latest processor, all that good stuff. So it'd be a considerable upgrade for me. One of the things that I was sad to see was that they don't have that crazy 100x zoom camera on the back of this thing. You get 12, or you get three 12 megapixel cameras, which would be fine, I think, in most cases, because those seem like decent cameras for the average person. But if you're like wanting insane, like record-breaking pictures or whatever with a smartphone, you might want the S21 Ultra, which comes with that 100x zoom camera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting to see what they do with it. It'll definitely be interesting to see how the foldable devices market moves, and if Apple and Google decide to do it. But I think for the average consumer, I don't think it's gonna pick up very well. But again, I've been wrong before, and we'll see. So.
And then it's all about like learning whether or not this kind of stuff is viable in the long run. Because it wasn't, I mean, it was super obvious that cell phones were going to be really transformative when they came out. But if you remember early cell phones, they looked like garbage. They were giant literal bricks that you carried around.
Yeah.
And you like flipped open the bottom microphone portion for some reason that covered the numbers. And then you talked with that. You had to pull out an antenna. And that's kind of how I look at the new foldables, or the current foldables, whatever they are, is that they look kind of janky because we haven't figured out whatever the design language is going to be for foldable phones yet. We're still kind of like half bricky smartphone, half we have foldable glass now and we're trying to make it work. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And then now there's going to be like rollable smartphones. There was just a leak that there'll be some glass that like rolls into the phone and then rolls out of the phone, so I'm curious what that's going to look like. So I don't know, we're in an interesting time where we get to play with whatever the future form factor of a cell phone could just be, some really really thin rollable bendable piece of glass. I don't know, or maybe it's just on your eyes, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Anything else? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
All right, cool. In that case, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show and you can join in. And also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, whether here on Earth or in outer space. We'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.